Hello, fellow Christmas lovers and enthusiasts. You are listening to Closer to Christmas, the podcast where every episode that comes out, we all get a little bit closer to Christmas. My name is Charlie, and on this episode, I have a special presentation for you, so make sure you stick around after the intro and find out what that is all about. And I also have a new segment that's going to be rolling out on the podcast this season. And now that you know what this episode is all about, it is time to grab your favorite blend of coffee, hot chocolate, any beverage of choice, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning into this episode of Closer to Christmas. As I mentioned at the top of the show, my name is Charlie. If you are a returning listener to Closer to Christmas, thank you for coming back for more of my shenanigans. If you're a new listener, thank you for tuning in. So I know it's been a while since I put an episode out on the feed. I'm still trying to get some stuff together for the next season of Closer to Christmas, so I have a lot of things I would like to do with audio sounds and all that type of stuff. I have some games that I'm trying to cover so I can review those on future episodes. So I didn't want my feed to just sit there and not have any episodes put out. So on this episode, I'm actually going to throw it back to the year 2017, and I'm going to do a special presentation of the episode of The Holiday Bros that me and my younger brother put out. So before there was Closer to Christmas, my younger brother and I, as I had mentioned on the show before, we did a holiday-themed podcast where it wasn't Christmas-specific, it was just all holidays, but we tried to find any specials or TV things that we watched growing up that had to do with the holidays, and we recorded episodes on those and put them out. So this was actually the very first episode that came out in March of 2017. It's all about a Charlie Brown Christmas, so we figured since we're recording a holiday podcast back then, we wanted to start with what I thought was a holiday classic. So you're going to have to stay tuned if you want to hear my brother's thoughts on this. But, you know, I was a bit taken back by his thoughts. So make sure you stick around and listen to that. But I also want to talk about a new segment that's going to come out on the podcast this season. It's called Stupid Christmas. So a few months ago, I was walking around in one of my local bargain type stores, and they had a little Christmas section, and there was a book sitting there, and it was just called Stupid Christmas, and it was only $1.99. It's also available on Amazon. I'm going to put a link to that in the description of this podcast, so if you want to check it out, but it is a book called Stupid Christmas by Leland Gregory, and it's basically just all stupid history facts and little clips and stuff like that that has to do with Christmas. So I figure what I'll do is I'll just randomly flip to a page, and whatever page I land on is what I'm going to read for that segment. And again, the book is by Leland Gregory. It is called Stupid Christmas. And we're going to start off this segment by flipping, and we land right here on page 112. And this is called Artificial Tree, Real Problem. To quell the complaints and concerns of people who feared that a live Christmas tree could pose a fire hazard, state officials in Jackson, Mississippi installed an artificial tree in the Capitol and ornately decorated its silk branches. And it promptly caught on fire. The Capitol was quickly filled with smoke, and about 75 Capitol workers, legislators, and reporters had to be evacuated for several hours. According to a December 13, 1999 article in the Clarion Ledger, there was no injuries or serious damage. Fire officials pointed to an electrical problem with the lights in the base of the tree, and that was the cause of the blaze. And that will conclude the first installment of Stupid Christmas. All right, now we're going to throw it over to the Holiday Bros podcast, episode number one. It is the Holiday Bros. You will also hear an intro to this podcast that was done by my brother. It's actually him and me both singing the intro, but he was the one that composed it. So I will throw it over there, and I will be back soon with another episode of Closer to Christmas. But for now, I'm going to try to pick out some of the Christmas-themed episodes that the Holiday Bros did, and I might sprinkle those on the podcast feed over here just to get some more ears listening to those episodes. They are still available if you want to hear some other episodes that are not Christmas related. You could just search for the Holiday Bros, and I'm sure you'll find it wherever you listen to podcasts. But if I'm playing any of them on this feed, it's going to be anything that's just Christmas themed, basically. So without further ado, I bring you this special presentation. Good tidings to you and all of our friends. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are the Holiday Bros, and you're listening to the Holiday Bros podcast.
Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros.
This is the very first episode of the Holiday Bros podcast. We're recording on March 21st, 2017. And on this episode, we're going to be covering
a Charlie Brown Christmas.
That was in sync as much as some of these kids talk in the cartoon.
Horrible. But Charlie Brown Christmas. It was released on December 9th, 1965. It was directed by Bill Melendez. And it was written by Charles M. Schultz, as I'm sure all of you out there actually know already.
So this one, the basic plot of this episode, I don't know if you want to go into that at all, but from what you would gather out of it, Charlie Brown just hates the fact that Christmas is so commercialized and the whole commercialism aspect of it, and he's trying to find the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, well, I hated everything to do with this movie.
See, that surprises me because, and I got a double surprise with this one, because when you told me that you were not into this one, spoiler alert for anyone that wants to know Kevin's ratings, probably not that good. But when I was trying to like work the family against you, and I messaged Kelly, our sister, the other night, and I said, could you believe Kevin hates the Charlie Brown Christmas? And guess what she wrote back?
What?
She said, me too.
I'm starting to see more similarities between she and I. As we're getting older. Well, I didn't realize Nick is our brother. He loves the movie. In fact, he made me get the sequel, which again, I'm dreading that. I'm sure we're going to have to go into that at some point, but
It's on my DVD. It's a clunker, I'll tell you that. One I do not care for. But yeah, I was surprised because you two of my siblings are not into this movie.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm not a huge Charlie Brown fan. You know, I have my issues with him, and it's one of those things where I watched it once, and that was literally only about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I didn't even remember it. And so I knew going into this, you know, we wanted to do something for the first episode quite mainstream, and almost everybody that I know, this is almost a Christmas staple for them.
And it is one for me. That's why I was so surprised that you guys hated it. I don't know why I'm so taken back by that. I watch this one every year. I watch it multiple times, and I even watch it in the summertime. It's one of those ones. I love it.
So I'm sure we're going to be talking about it, but it's just there. And I wrote down here, the first 22 minutes. Now, it's only a 25-minute movie. The first 22 minutes, there is absolutely really no talk about Christmas at all in this thing.
Correct. I mean, except the commercialism aspect of it. They talk about that.
Well, and that surprises me. And that's a note that I have later on. The notes that I took are in sequential order from the beginning of the movie through the end. So anybody that watches it or that knows it, like the back of their hand, shout out to Kenny out there, they'll at least have an idea and they'll be able to kind of picture in their head where we're at with this. But, I mean, literally, with that first piano chord, as soon as it started, I already wanted to shoot myself.
So what, you don't like the music either?
No, the music's okay, but it's nothing that I go and look for during Christmas time. I mean, that is not, again, we're all huge Christmas fans. You know, I have a rotation of Christmas music that I listen to nonstop from the middle of November through the end of December, and there's not one Charlie Brown music score on there.
Vince Guaraldi Trio. I listened to the soundtrack to this today at work and last week even.
I mean,
just hearing that
come on, and this might kill people's ears, so give me a second to figure it out, but that chord right there,
it's a depressing one, but I love it.
Listen to this. Well, they're not even trying.
Well, I'll tell you why. There's a reason behind that.
What, behind them not even trying?
Yeah.
And what would that be?
These were real kids that were used for all the voices in this cartoon, right?
That I know, yeah.
But here's the thing. Half of the kids didn't know how to read. For example, Sally. She doesn't know how to read, the actor that did the voice for Sally. Mm-hmm. So they had to keep like pausing and telling her the lines and sometimes just word for word so she could say them. So that's why at that one part where she's telling Charlie Brown what she wants on her Christmas list, it sounds so choppy.
All right, I noticed that.
Yeah, that's why, because the girl that did that voice couldn't read. So like sometimes she couldn't get
you
the
don't
lines
hear,
right.
I'm surprised you don't hear them director like whisper as part of the recording.
That's why it sounds so choppy, because like they would have to seriously pause, say one word, have her repeat the one word. They would record it and pause again. That's how they had to do it.
That would explain why she sounded like complete crap.
Yeah, and you want to know something else about all these kids in the voice that did the voices?
Mm.
Not one of them got credit in the credits of the special. they screwed them all over. And on top of that, that song with the vocals in it that you hear,
mm-hmm.
One of the people that worked on the movie I'm trying to think who it was. Whoever wrote the words to that took a recording in and just recorded the kids in his classroom singing it.
Well,
so obviously they're not trained people, so that's why it sounds like that.
No, I mean it's I don't know.
On the soundtrack to this movie though, there's a version of that that doesn't have vocals.
Just the music?
That song. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that I could tolerate. The absolutely horrible, singing, I can't deal with it all. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, when you think of Charlie Brown Christmas, at least for me, again, somebody that has hated it for many, many years and still does, the only thing that comes to my mind is that damned limp, pathetic Christmas tree.
I own one of those Christmas trees. Oh.
And I mean, that's a statement my mother-in-law does, too. She loves Charlie Brown, and every year she has that and that stupid limp tree out that I just want to friggin' clip.
Yep, I got that tree in my in the kids' playroom. I have that in there, and then I put the leg lamp in the front window. I love that tree. That tree jumps around, though. Actually, Charles Schulz hated that tree in the animation because mm-hmm. at certain points it seems to have more branches and then less branches. It just kind of bounces around, and he was supposedly hated that in the animation.
Well, something that I took note of is that when they took all the decorations off of Snoopy's little house. And
which that was really rude of them.
It was, but one, it turned into a full-fledged pine tree after that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Two,
yep, I always hated that.
Snoopy had all colored lights. They were all yellow then when they were putting on the tree.
Oh, I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah, absolutely horrible. Didn't like that at all. I mean, Charlie.
Did you notice? Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, speaking of Snoopy's house, though, did you notice his house?
I didn't pay attention.
It was blue.
Are you sure it just wasn't the night sky?
Nope, in this special it was blue, because even at the beginning when he's sitting on top of it eating those goddamn bones like potato chips, it was blue. But if you look at the cover of the DVD here that I'm showing you on the screen,
you mean
it's
this?
Red.
I took this clip especially for my ASMR fans out there.
It's a hearty crunch though, but
it is.
He would be hacking after that.
Well,
Did you know though, this was also the first animated Peanuts special as well.
Well, and that's what I wanted to talk. I don't like was Charlie Brown only movie based back in the day? Like
no,
there was
comic
there,
strip.
I know there's the comic strip, but was there ever a TV show back then, or was it just movies?
No, because this is the very first animated special. I don't think he had a TV show.
And I don't think he did either. I didn't bother looking
it
up.
And, judging by the look of this, though, you could tell that it was comic strip only, because a lot of these images are pretty flat, especially when they're ice skating at the beginning.
Well, and that's something that I have on here, too, that one, Charlie Brown could be the only thing out there that could ruin a great holiday such as Christmas. And the Charlie Brown animators, if you're in, you being a cartoonist yourself, I'm sure you're paying attention, but they appear to be the laziest animators in the world.
Yeah, they actually struggled with drawing Charlie Brown's head.
Well, obviously, once they got that, they figured they're going to make the entire cast look just like him, just to not have to go through that pain again.
Yeah, it was. Some of the animations got a lot to. You got to use a lot of your imagination.
Though, I mean, if that's the first special, then people probably were not used to knowing what an animated Charlie Brown looks like.
Yeah,
and
it just basically looks like the comic strip, nice and flat.
Well, the part. Or is it the part here just made me kind of laugh? Look at, like, when he went up to Violet with that sarcastic comment, he literally looked like he wanted to murder her.
Yeah.
Thanks for the Christmas card you sent me, Violet. I didn't send you a Christmas card, Charlie Brown. Don't you know sarcasm when you hear it?
See, I even have in my notes about that. In my notes, I have Charlie Brown's smug look when he's talking to Violet.
It is weird the way he's drawn there. You don't see that type of look on him in any other special that I ever remember. I mean, again, they're probably just trying to figure out how he would look animated, but...
But picture this, though. The way he looks when he's talking to her, he has such a shit-eating grin on his face, and his eyes are very mean.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't even think the eyebrows are there, but just the way the eyes are, they're kind of like really thick slits.
They're like commas.
Yeah.
Did you ever look at the way they draw shoes on Charlie Brown? It always grossed me out. Always, like, Charlie Brown's shoes just look like he's walking around on two loaves of bread.
What I was picking up, and I didn't write it down, but I remembered, is that every one of them, their fingers look like that the wind's always blowing them backwards. They're all curved and hooked up, upward.
I don't think I ever noticed
every
it.
One of them. Their fingers disgust me.
I don't think I ever noticed that.
It goes from fingers to arm.
Like, I don't want to jump all around because we're trying to keep some stuff in order, but one of the things I wanted to talk about happens at the beginning as well as the very last scene.
Mm-hmm.
But this special was actually originally sponsored by the Coca-Cola company. I don't know if you knew about that.
No.
And there was two scenes that have been removed. It only ever aired once with these scenes in it. And then one other scene was removed, but it was added back again later. So the first scene had a Coca-Cola advertising in it. At the very beginning, when they're all ice skating around on the pond, you see the one part where Snoopy grabs Linus's blanket and wraps him and Charlie Brown up in it and flings them off of the ice?
Yeah, that I saw.
Okay, so you'll see Charlie Brown crash into a tree, but you never see Linus. And in the original one that only aired the very first time, Linus, they actually showed him, he crashed into a Coca-Cola billboard. But that what happened was this, like, nobody was happy with this special when it first aired. So they pulled their sponsorship out of it right away, I guess. So then they just deleted the scenes. And then the one other scene that had the Coca-Cola reference in it, when the very ending of the special, when it was over and all the kids were singing, it actually faded to black at that point. And then it had a sign that just said, "Merry Christmas from your local bottler of Coca-Cola." But then that was removed later. And then there was the one other scene that I know that was cut out, but then put back in later. So I don't know if you saw it on the version you watched, but there was a scene where they were all throwing snowballs at a can on the fence. Was that in your version?
Yeah, because Snoopy came around in the back.
Okay, yeah. Linus actually hit it with a snowball. He put it in the blanket and flung it at it.
Yeah, but Snoopy went around with a blanket or something and went to whip it.
Yeah, but anyway, that scene was cut out for years, and then it was put back in, I think, in, I want to say, the late 70s or something like that.
That's it!
Speaking of that's it, let me talk about that part. That part always bothered me. We're talking about the part where they're at the psychiatric help part now.
Yeah, and she says that he has fear of everything.
Yeah, which is fun, and he does. But
that's it!
I always hated her psychiatric help desk. It didn't make any sense. The way the signs were, it kept moving. I don't know if you noticed it. Like, on the front of her desk, it
said, "Are you sure
that's
just not horrible, lazy animation?"
Oh, no, it's both. But it would say, like, at the front of the desk, it says, "The doctor is out." But then as soon as Charlie Brown goes over there, she flips the sign over. And now the sign's on the right where it was on the left that said out. But now it says, "The doctor is real in." What the hell does that mean?
I have no idea. And I was trying to look at that. And I was like, is it the real doctor? The doctor real?
No, it just says the doctor is real in. Because then two scenes later, it just says the doctor is in. Then it goes back to real in and then back to in. It keeps toggling and it keeps moving the location of the sign.
Well, that's, again, laziness. They're not even paying attention to what they did a few cells beforehand. Which and that's the thing with some of these things, especially the stuff that from that psychiatric part. Mm-hmm. Was Charlie Brown, in your opinion, was Charlie Brown was Charlie Brown tailored towards kids or adults? But now that I'm thinking about it, it had to be tailored towards adults because it was a comic strip. Kids aren't reading the newspaper. It was comic strip that was turned into a cartoon, and I get the feeling it was one of those shows that were to keep kids occupied, but if you so happen to be sitting there with them while the kids, you know, if you're resting or something while the kids are watching this, you would chuckle at a few things as an adult because you would get
it. Watching it as an adult, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I never thought about it like that. I often thought about, like, the whole world in the Charlie Brown world. It doesn't make sense to me. You never see an adult, okay? There's obviously adults, but they never, like, I don't know. Do they live by themselves? Are they orphans? Like, I don't understand it. I know that there's family, but I never understood.
There's the teacher, but that's it. That's the only adult, really, that is in there. But, and I remember, I don't know if it was Charles M. Schultz that stated it or somebody that worked there. The reason why you hear them, too, in the trombone sound is just, they said that, that's how they feel kids are typically. Like, they're not actually listening to what adults are telling them to do. So to them, it's just blah, 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 but they did it with an instrument. And that's why
like
we
that
never
route,
hear
though.
The... What?
I like that route that they took with that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So we never actually hear the adult speaking because we're supposed to be in the eyes and ears of those kids.
I could see that. I just don't understand the dynamic of, like, in the Charlie Brown household, you only ever see the kids running the show. Like, think of the Thanksgiving one, which we might cover at some point. They're outside cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, you mean so, like, everything, even stuff that you think adults should be doing, there's nobody there.
There's no adult supervision. The kids are allowed to run wild. They're allowed to just
leave. Look at the Halloween one. Lucy's, like, the whole party is
not chaperoned. That's what I
mean. Like, not chaperoned.
Where are the adults in this world?
She uses a butcher knife to hack that pumpkin up.
Just imagine if she accidentally, when she flipped Charlie around and drew on his head, if she just started carving into that.
Oh.
Well, that's for another episode, but...
Well, as we're moving along and we get to that, like, if at least for me, when that, because again, I don't remember this movie until I watched it last night. So when this part came on with that dance scene, I just wanted to throw things through the window. Like,
why? I have age for those dancers. I love them. First of all, minus is then you have the Frankenstein dancer. That one kid that's dancing like Frankenstein.
Snoopy was probably the best part of that, him jamming out on the guitar, the way he was just tilting back and forth, and his hand kept going. But all right.
It's just a repetitive two-frame motion, basically.
Well, and this, we see a lot of this during the play. I mean, I'm starting to wonder that, like, well, I think it's evident and obvious that Charlie Brown is extremely depressed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know that. He says it a million times in that episode, but I think just in general, knowing the other Charlie Brown things that I've seen, he's depressed. Now, I'm going to assume for the newest movie that was out, the Peanuts movie.
Have you seen it?
I have not. Is he just as depressed, or is he more cheerful in that?
They're
a completely
little
different audience this day.
But yeah, there's a little cheer to him, but he's still a depressed little boy.
Well,
that's bald.
Lucy doesn't help at all with the how she torments him.
She did try to help, though, in this episode. You got to admit, because she did try to tell him that, like, because to help along with the story here, Charlie Brown was complaining about the commercialism of Christmas. Lucy said, what you need is to get some involvement. So come on down and you could be the director of the play. So she actually did try to help, which is rare for her because she usually sucks.
But I think she was still trying to torment him. I mean, she wouldn't if she's not getting anything out of it, then she wouldn't bother.
Yeah,
and nothing good, I'm saying. I think she's definitely one of his demons that he needs to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, she's always around. You wonder why he's even friends with all these people.
Yeah, I have no... Well,
especially with a part coming up
it,
in a
like,
little bit.
The only reason she's kind of friends with Lucy, though, or that he's friends with Lucy, is because he's friends with Linus. Linus and Lucy are brother and sister.
Yeah.
Okay, so he has to kind of be friends with Lucy because he's friends with Linus.
Which, they're all in the same class, which again throws me off, because Lucy and Linus are not twins.
No, but actually, let me give you a little Linus break here. There was, in future episodes, down the line, you know how a lot of shows, they'll bring a baby into the show when things are getting a little stale? Do you know that they brought in they gave Linus a baby brother that looks identical to Linus? Did you know that?
No.
Okay, here's how cheap they got about it. Guess what his name would be? If you made a character that looked identical to your character when it was little, and now it seriously looks just like you, you're never gonna get it. But
Linus Jr.
Rerun.
Oh, I remember the name Rerun.
Yeah, that's Linus's.
Oh, so that's a joke then on that. That's a joke then on their part.
Yep. So anyway, that's what they did in the future. So that's actually, I think, in maybe a Valentine special.
Yeah.
I think.
Well. After that dance scene, we eventually get to, again, where they get completely off track. Because at this point, Charlie Brown was asked by Lucy to direct the Christmas play to try to get him back into the spirit of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so Charlie Brown, again, he's one of the... That just shows that there's some depression and some... he has a lot of self-esteem issues that all they need to do is just tell him one positive thing and he gets completely excited. What, you want me to be the director?
And I like how he's like, if I make a slashing motion like this across my throat.
Yeah, well, I was gonna actually play that part and be like, that means kill yourself, because that's the way I felt around that time. So once again, he's trying to direct, and then they completely go off tangent again, and then we hear the classic. Now, a little trivia for you. Everyone just calls this a Charlie Brown theme song, but do you know the actual name of this song?
Oh, of course I do. It's Linus and Lucy.
It is. It's Linus and Lucy. So a lot of people actually do not know that at all. They just call it the Charlie Brown theme song.
Yeah. Now, obviously, with this being the first animated special, this was the first time the song was used, I think.
Probably.
Oh, just cut out.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have the whole thing. It was actually from the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that was used in other... I mean, it was used in every Charlie Brown thing since then. I know that. But.
Though, I have to admit, and I put a special note here because you could probably... attest to it, but when they're all dancing and not doing what they should be, which they do that at least three times, it reminds me of when I was in a band. Sometimes you just want to jam to random things and not practice. And so three times they did whatever they wanted when they should have been practicing and play. And I mean, when you were, because I know you were in a band, do you guys ever, and you being the singer, it might be a little bit different, but do they ever just kind of go off script and start jamming while you're kind of waiting for the next song to cue on?
Yeah, we used to goof around. That's actually usually the best times, because then you can come up with some fun stuff while you're doing that.
It is, and I like that. I mean, you know, but I guess it depends on, you know, I've already worked with people who they're like, all right, come on, let's keep it going.
Nah, I like to keep it loose. Not loosey, but loose. But if you ever, you got to go back, though. I know you're not going to watch this again, but
no.
did you really watch the people dancing, though? Did you really?
Yes, I specifically looked at every individual one of them. While they were jumping around,
was
most of them are just
like their knees are broken.
I think that was Pigpen. It was completely bent over.
No,
it was like the Matrix.
Doing this weird thing. They were right in front of Schroeder's piano, but like their one knee was just bending in a way it shouldn't bend. That was enjoyable. I like that scene. I don't know
the whole thing. I can't deal with it. But I do. I am starting to enjoy throughout that whole thing. Snoopy does make me giggle in some instances.
Oh, yeah.
And he has the absolute best voice ever.
Let me tell you something funny about Snoopy. While we're in this scene here with Lucy at the beginning, when she's introducing everyone to Charlie Brown, how he's going to be the director, I don't know if you noticed this part. She's sitting there telling everybody what's going to happen, and Snoopy's right behind her mocking her and just doing everything she's doing and making the faces and everything.
Actually, I didn't
see
that.
Did you see that part?
No. Well, I watched it. I didn't pay. I was looking at her and Charlie Brown.
Okay. Well, listen to this. She's sitting there telling everybody what's going to happen. Snoopy's right behind her doing the same thing she's doing, like pointing and doing all the same stuff. She looks at him and she says to him, she goes, oh, I'm trying to think exactly what her wording was, but she just goes, she gets so mad. She says, I'm going to sock you one. And she swings and goes to punch him in the face and he ducks out of the way. So in real life, if you're thinking about this as a real situation, she was just about to punch a dog in the face. That's sadistic.
Yeah, well, and he probably would have socked her back, though. He doesn't let her get away with stuff.
Hit her in the head with a bone or something.
But even at this point where we're at, I mean, this play that they're working on has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas.
No, because you never get to see the play.
No,
anyway.
I mean, this could literally be, that's what I'm saying, the first 22 minutes, this could just be any ordinary cartoon. And, I mean, it just, I don't get it. I still don't get the appeal. The only thing that has ever come up is that speech Alinus is, which we'll talk about later on, but I just don't get it. I don't get the appeal. I don't get why this is a staple in a lot of families. I just
see, for me,
I don't
it's
know.
Just that
I don't get any feeling whatsoever.
I don't know. Yeah. I get a good feeling from it. Excuse me. But I think one of the things that would have made this a lot worse is, like, when the executives at CBS saw this, nobody liked it. I was saying that before. But the
was
executives
it on CBS wanted, originally?
Yeah. Executives wanted them to add a laugh track to it. Because, like, think of all the cartoons that were on back in the day, like the Flintstones and all those, how they had that fake laugh track.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted in this. And there was an episode that was recorded. Or not an episode. They did. Exactly. They actually went back in and put the laugh track in it. But then after the episode aired and people actually liked it, then they never went and put the laugh track in, but they did do one with a laugh track.
So they didn't have any confidence in their own, in the work.
I'm telling you, everybody hated it, and Charles Schulz even didn't like it.
why would they even bother then?
Well, because I don't know. The whole thing was like Charles Schulz wanted to do like a whole religious aspect to it,
mm-hmm.
and the other people working on it wanted nothing to do with it. That's why that Linus thing was very important to Charles Schulz. Like, he definitely wanted that in there, but everyone else was kind of against the whole religion aspect of it.
Well, there was one part with that play that made me think of another show.
Hey, perhaps a tree. A great, big, shiny aluminum Christmas tree.
As soon as I heard that, I was like, Festivus, anyone?
Oh, yeah. Now, the Christmas tree part, what happens is Charlie Brown realizes no one's listening to him while he's trying to direct everybody, so he goes to go and pick up a tree. And sappy old Charlie Brown goes to a metal tree yard, and I guess, what were they all sold out, or were they too much money? No, they weren't all sold out. There were so many of them there, but he wanted a real tree.
Yeah, but let's not forget, why did he go out there? Because, yet again, they put him completely down, and I have to admit, I did bust out laughing when I heard this.
Yeah, do something right for a change, Charlie Brown.
When that, I actually did start laughing. I mean, even though it was completely mean and ridiculous of her to say that, that's the only reason why he's going out.
I enjoy that.
Yeah, do something right for a change, Charlie Brown.
We can just cut the brown off of that and then just give me that audio clip so I can use it for myself. That's another funny thing, too, that Linus says at the beginning. He says he was talking about somebody, and he goes, they were right. Out of all the Charlie Browns I know, you're the Charlie Browniest.
Sounds like something Pee-wee would have said.
I love it. They just totally put him down. That's why he's so depressed all the time.
Well, when they went to this tree farm, Linus actually knocked on one, and it sounded like hollow aluminum.
Yeah,
were they real things back, or is that just a joke?
Oh, yeah.
Or is there a joke in there?
Real.
They were?
No, they were real, yeah.
Did they look like an actual Christmas tree shape?
Yeah,
like,
they
obviously
were just
solid,
trees.
But, like, now, was it just a triangle, or was it actual, did it look like fake, thick branches, like molded aluminum?
Alive, but I don't know. I'm sure you could Google it or Bing it. I wasn't alive, but a lot of the time back in the days, like, what they did was they had a tree out there, and instead of decorating with lights, they would put those like circle light wheels to shine on them.
Mm.
Did you ever see those things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but aluminum trees were real. They were pretty big for a while.
I don't like it.
Still, yeah, that part was always depressing, but the trees were like pre-decorated
that
and everything.
Part, this whole movie's depressing. I mean, leave it to Charlie Brown to pick the most pathetic tree on the lot. What's that all about? Is that supposed to be significant to him? Like,
yeah, because he feels like so little, and because everyone just picks on him, he feels so belittled. So he knows, like, just with, well, actually, I don't think at that part he was like expecting to give the tree a little bit of love, but like he just sees that even the little things in life can be like good, you know what I mean? That's
so
the way I
is
think
he
it.
Taking it upon himself to do what others are not doing for him and taking care of something that is, you know, more feeble than him, or is
see,
it or is it a reflection of himself
back, or is well, it a re- yeah I don't think so, because as soon as he brings that back and they all see it, they laugh him out of town.
And then they change it up anyway on him, like it's not even the original tree once they're done.
Well, that's because they realize that they were jerks to him, and then they figure they'll help it out a little bit. But yeah, what you saw, I don't know if you have an audio clip of what happens when he brings that back.
Yeah, no, I definitely have it. That was again another one that came up.
Yeah, do something right. Wait, for a change, Charlie Brown.
Sorry,
I'm not gonna.
Boy,
complain
are
about
you
hearing
stupid,
that one again.
Charlie Brown? What kind of a tree is that? You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
This is where he's already looking off to the camera.
I told you he'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right. You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless. You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown. But this time you really did it.
Could you imagine?
What a tree.
And then Snoopy, his own dog.
Snoopy. Well, think about the other time Snoopy zinged them at the beginning when they're like, when Lucy introduces them as the new director, everyone's clapping, but you hear someone going, boo!
Yeah.
And it's Snoopy. And then he goes, man's best friend.
Oh.
But yeah, they're totally brutal to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And again, no wonder why the kid is depressed. All they do is laugh at him, and they just bust on him for no reason. Like, he's trying to help.
I have to... I have to admit something funny, though. When I don't know if you know this show. You probably do because you have kids. But when we were watching this, me and Aiden were watching it tonight, and Max walked through the room, and he just goes, "Oh, Caillou."
Yeah.
Yep. Charlie Brown's bald head.
Yeah. No, Bridget was obsessed with Caillou. Thank God we don't get that station anymore. I couldn't stand it. He was so whiny. Absolutely horrible cartoon.
Yeah.
Teaches
you can tell
kids to be pricks
because it's all foggy and the coloring's weird.
That's what I said. Is it always in a dream? But yeah, it's not. Said. That's exactly what the show is, and I can't stand it. But
we'll save that for Caillou Cast.
Yeah. Well, literally within a minute of him getting laughed off, this is apparently where the Christmas wrap up, if you will, bringing it home to get that Christmas feeling in for everybody. However, though, it didn't work for me, and that is with Linus's speech, which. We have a little clip of it here.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I mean, that speech is obviously longer, but...
How could you hate that, though?
I absolutely hate it. I'm getting nothing from it. All I'm doing is thinking
it.
Of...
I love the fact that he has a mushy voice. I love everything about it.
I mean, I know that's the true meaning of Christmas, what they're getting at. Oh, but all I'm doing is thinking of the Jolly Man in red. And, like, that's all that's coming to mind. That's because I'm just trying to push this one out of my head. And just waiting and waiting. And I will admit it. I was literally watching the clock tick down on it, waiting for that to get to about 1 minute left, because I knew that's usually when the credits would have been running by then.
This is depressing. I don't know why. It's just something about it. I enjoyed Linus's speech. I always thought it
so
was
so many
good.
People do. I know I'm in the minority when I say that I absolutely hate it, and obviously, you know, our sister
maybe
doesn't like
you'd
it.
Be a good executive at CBS.
Never.
Let me ask you one other thing. Being a music guy yourself, that part where Linus and Lucy, or not Linus, Schroeder and Lucy were sitting there at the piano, mm-hmm. and Lucy was trying to tell him to play Jingle Bells, and he was playing a more in-depth version of Jingle Bells, and she goes, no, not that, Jingle Bells. So he played a little medium version. She goes, no. So then he just went with a single key, doot, 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 and then she was like, that's it, and he flies away. Did she only get it because it was just that... like amateur of a sound? Yes. Like, why did she understand that as Jingle Bells but not like the first version,
remember,
which was much better?
Well, remember when the kids are doing that, well, Schroeder's obviously, and I actually did put a note in here, forgot to mention it, that Lucy always throws herself at Schroeder, and what's great is that he wants nothing to do with her.
Yep,
but
it's all about the music.
I think that's coming back to where the writers kind of look at the whole, you know, adult, and like, this is supposed to be in the perspective of kids. So I've already played things for Bridget where I've played full-fledged chords in both hands where the melody's there. An adult would know what I'm playing, but she can't pick out
the main tune.
Yeah, she's like, well, that's not it. And I would literally have to almost go down to just playing the single note. So I think that's where it is that they don't want this big elaborate thing. All a little kid knows is dun, 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 dun,
because
that's
sense.
What they're singing.
Yeah, I never really thought about it like that, but that definitely makes sense. While we're talking music, though, I'll tell you one more executive note on the executive side on this show. Hmm. The executives, when they were watching it for the first time, they thought that the jazz music in this episode, all the Vince Guaraldi stuff, was a bit of an intrusion, and they actually wanted it all cut out because they thought that people would never accept it.
What was the intrusion?
They just thought that it was like overwhelming in the movie.
I thought the actual cartoon was intruding on the music.
So you're a complete opposite.
Yeah, I think we should have just seen a black screen for 25 minutes and then listened to the trio play. But what, I mean, you had brought it up before. I had made more of a note of it because I never paid attention to what he was saying through half the movie until near the end. But what's odd is that Charlie Brown is so pissed that Christmas has become commercialized. Now, as we mentioned, this was released in 1965. So to me, it's very odd to think that people, even though Christmas was being commercialized back then, that they even thought about that long ago. I mean, hell, in the 80s, in the early, you know, to mid-90s, I still got that Christmassy feeling, and I never thought of Christmas being commercialized. And, I mean, that's all you hear nowadays, but the fact that they had, you know, a cartoon talking about commercialized Christmas back in the 60s, that just boggles my mind. I mean, that people were even thinking about it back then. So I guess no matter what,
I guess it's always been like that, but you were a kid and you never saw it as that, you know?
Yeah.
But as an adult, see, that's the thing. Like, these kids, Charlie Brown is seeing it through an adult's eye and the commercialism aspect of it, whereas when we were kids, we would just see it as Christmas time.
Well, again, this did not give me any Christmas feeling, and I know I mentioned it before, but, I remember I was told that once I have a kid, that that Christmas feeling will start to come back, because you'll kind of live it vicariously through them. I don't know if maybe she's still too young. Everyone says she's at the good age for it, but I'm still not getting it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's all part of being an adult. It sucks. I hate it, but
yeah,
you lose all those feelings of being a kid. The only time you'll get that feeling back is when you see them enjoying it like that, you know?
I mean, I just...
It's not that you're going to get that feeling back. You'll just see them experiencing it.
God, I mean, I remember when December 1st would hit, I thought those 25 days would never end the way they were. It was seriously took forever.
I also thought that we used to have off of school the whole time, too.
Yeah, well, no, I know what you mean. Those days off, it seemed like it was forever. It's like, almost talking to your friends, you jokingly did that whole, hey, we'll see you next year, but it kind of actually felt like it.
Yep, I loved it.
But, yeah, it's, I don't know. So, but...
why don't you wind down the episode? Let me know how does it end after Linus's speech.
After the speech, they all go. Charlie Brown, I believe, he takes the tree.
He's gone.
Yeah. He takes the tree with him, and they all start looking at him, and then the horrible animation. Everyone just turns in spurts instead of a nice smooth rotation, and then they instantly start walking. It was very weird to see that animation, but he just takes the tree on his own, takes it outside. And it pretty much falls. And
well, no, that's where he sees Snoopy's first place, and he got pissed off.
Well, yeah, but again, you might be able to wrap it up a little bit better here with that end part, because I just all
you
that
were
I remember
by then.
I was, because all that came to me was that, and he put the tree out, and he's like, it's not that such a bad little tree though. That could have been after Linus put the blanket around it, because I just remember he put the ornament on, and then all we hear is,
"I've killed it." Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
Oh, I mean,
could you imagine little Charlie Brown going to the bathroom? Everything I touch. Here, just picture, you're going to play that audio clip again. Picture Charlie Brown in the bathroom, stepping up to the urinal.
I've killed it.
Looking down.
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
Yeah, well, that's a different type of Charlie Brown movie, but
he drops it there then by Snoopy's doghouse, and he realizes that he ruined the tree because he just tried to decorate it. He just wanted it to look nice. He hung one ornament on it, and the damn thing snapped over. So then that's when the crew of kids come up, because Charlie Brown runs away because he's just fed up with everything. Then the whole crew walks over and they just stand there looking at it. And that's when Linus is like, I don't know if you have this part.
No, I don't have.
Okay. So then that's where Linus is like, it's not really a bad tree after all. And then he wraps his blanket around it and that kind of sturdies it up. And then they just destroy Snoopy's first place award winning doghouse, rip all the decorations and ornaments and everything off of it and decorate the tree with it. And then it turns from a stick, like you said before, into like a full grown pine tree.
Yeah.
That looks like a decorated little Christmas tree.
Which, again, looks absolutely no better. And, the lights change
color. Do you have the ending part? Like when they all yelled, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown"?
No, because I was just done with it by that point. I mean, and that's, I literally had, at this point that as it's ending, and again, I mentioned this a million times, I still have absolutely no clue how this is a staple for people during Christmas. It didn't give me the slightest Christmas feeling at all. More, I was enraged with this movie. And, people may scoff at me for it, but Charlie Brown Christmas, my official review, it was absolutely horrible. And the unfortunate thing about this, as I also mentioned earlier, is that I know there is a sequel to this damned movie.
Yep. I was watching it on DVD. I own the Charlie Brown, the holiday box set, which has all the holidays in it. But the DVD of the Christmas one does come with the bonus feature included. It's Christmas time again, Charlie Brown. And I've watched that one, and that one is junk. But, I'm sure at some point we'll be going over that one. Now, the only other thing, this is actually an award-winning movie. Let me tell you a little bit about the awards it won, okay? So, in what was it?
It had to be award winning for being like the only cartoon back then.
No, it wasn't even back then.
I shouldn't say that. Snow White was in 1937.
It won a Peabody Award. It won a Peabody Award in 1966. It won the Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Children's Programming, and it was nominated for a Grammy in 1978, which it didn't win. And I think it was in 2015. Yeah, it for the 50th anniversary of it, the Postal Service released a set of Charlie Brown stamps, and they've actually come out last year too. They were out. I picked them up last year too. In December, once I see them out, that's all I buy, and then I just use them on everything.
So if it got an award for a children's program, then obviously that's the category they're putting it under. But
yep,
it was probably still tailored towards adults anyway.
Most likely, but it's not going to compete and win against an adult program.
As a kid, I mean, I probably didn't even know anything what depression was, but did you ever think that there was something wrong with Charlie Brown as a kid? I didn't.
I just knew everyone picked on him. I never saw him as being depressed, but as an adult, you definitely see it.
Yeah, well, I think a few of them, you know, with especially that I know a lot of this stuff within my career, I think a few of them are definitely on the spectrum. And it's, I mean, that's a definite. So I would love to pick their brains, but, you know, Mr. Schultz isn't with us anymore.
Nope. But I don't know. My overall review, I enjoyed it a lot. Oh, boy. I liked it. And I like I said, I was surprised that you guys didn't like it. But that also makes for good conversation when you're not all into the same thing.
Yeah. She was probably being enjoyable. Difficult.
Yeah, I watch it every year. I like it. My kids like it.
Well, they probably like it as a rub off from you.
Yeah, probably. So, I don't know. I'll watch it again. I'll be watching it again at Christmas time.
Not me, unless we have to come back for another review, you know, if the fans are requesting that I pay attention to a few more things and appreciate different aspects. But I'm hoping this one stays in the vault for a while.
I don't know. You have any other things you want to say about this one before we wrap it up?
I wish it was never made.
Oh man, you're really, really hating on it.
No, I'll admit it. I mean, even though it's our first show, I was dreading this one. I really
I
was.
Guess it's better you get it out of the way right away.
Yeah, but again, it's mainstream enough, and we know that the majority of people out there enjoy it. So, and you know, this kind of works out, as you said, having opposing opinions and thoughts about everything kind of makes the conversation a little bit more so we can kind of see different points of view. And I know that I would be speaking to some people out there, but you would be speaking to the majority of them.
So with that said, episode number one of the Holiday Bros podcast is in the books. I had a good time.
I did too. You know, I'm looking forward to many more things to look at. And again, there's going to be some that you don't like, there's going to be some I don't like, but there's going to be many, many that we both really enjoy, and definitely looking forward to those as well.
I'm definitely looking forward to ones that we might not have seen before, too, you know?
Well, and that's where a lot of the fans will come in as well with these. Again, I think we're going to cover the mainstream stuff, but if there's some hidden gems out there that we don't know about, like, I'm sure, well, I actually know for a fact there is. There's a holiday episode of, you know, just as an example, Tales from the Crypt. There's a holiday episode of that. So things that we might not think of, you know, that are completely mainstream or that aren't mainstream, we would definitely love to hear those and give those a whirl.
Okay, so if you want to, you could follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at The Holiday Bros on there. And you could also, what we're going to be doing is, once we know what we're going to do the next episode on, I'm going to post a picture up on there so you guys could even watch it beforehand.
And feel free also to email us at theholidaybros@gmail.com.
So for this episode of the Holiday Bros podcast, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin, here to bid you farewell and happy holiday from the
Holiday Bros.